Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
And welcome. When I watch that intro, for those of you who are seeing the video feed, I just go, oh my God, I miss travel so much. I can't wait. I think our next plan, for those of you who don't know, hi, my name is Morgana Ray. This is my husband, Devin Gallaudet. And Devin came up with the idea that we should get married 100 times in 100 countries. And we started out the gate, I think, getting married 11 times in 1 year in 11 countries. Slowed down in 2020 to zero. But we are hopeful that with, you know, science and changes and improvements going on, that we'll get married in Thailand later this year. I'll be leading my goddess retreat in Bali and may have some other stuff going on in Asia. And in between, hey, what a great opportunity to get married in a new country. And Devin, you've been to Thailand a number of times.
I have been to Thailand a number of times. And my name is Devin. And this is probably going to be the last that you'll hear of me from the rest of this episode. But I'm grateful. That was the world's longest sentence. Thailand is remarkable. I mean, for those who don't know, I'm also the editor-in-chief of the Minnow Traveler. We cover 192 countries around the world of places to go and visit. And the truth of the matter is I am a huge lover of travel. Since this is my opportunity to spew, I'm going to. I think we're supposed to know each other. I mean, there's a bigger picture about sort of unity, and I'm not going to get into all of that right now. But the truth of the matter is, I think one of the greatest ways to learn about other cultures is not by hearing what your friends have to say, but go and experience it. And you will find, especially today, we're just in such a weird place, I think, in the world, is that it's easy to kind of not know. And so I would suggest that you just go to these places and go check them out and go have a great time. Many places, just in general, like Thailand's a place historically that you can visit rather, you know, outside of the plane ticket. It's a long plane ride, no doubt. But once you are in Thailand, stuff is cheap, food is good, people are nice, it's really safe, and it's really interesting. It's a real interesting dichotomy compared to the U.S., which is sort of like, you know, we have this kind of very black and white sensibility in a lot of things. And because Thailand is largely has a Buddhist fundamental, there's a lot of gray area that we don't have. And so it's just an interesting cultural experience, and I highly recommend it. And we should totally get married in Thailand.
Where?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've spent a fair amount of time in Phuket and Khao Lak and, of course, Bangkok, and Kuriburi, and along the Andaman coast. And there's just the total places. Ooh, and Ubon Ratchathani, and this area where it is a bridge on the River Kwai. Kanchanaburi. I didn't pronounce it right, so I apologize. But anyway, it's got so much to see and do there. It's just a really interesting place. And, you know, honestly, I haven't been to Chiang Mai, so maybe getting married in Chiang Mai would be great. Mm. But no matter how we slice it, I think it'll be easy, and I think it'll be fun.
And lots of Thai massage and Thai food.
Totally. And you can get, like, a Thai massage for, like, $6. I mean, maybe something has changed in the last few years, because it's been probably about 5 years since the last time I've been back. But it's just an extraordinary country, and there's so many just really interesting things to do. I mean, just really, you need to get on a tuk-tuk, which is sort of like a three-wheeled kind of cab, open-door cab. It's like a tricycle for you can fit as many human beings as possible in it. And take it. take it in Bangkok because they don't have traffic rules there. It's like, yeah, no, there's no, it'll be like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride for those of you who have been to Disneyland before.
Well, I think that's Asia. Like when I'm in Bali, I don't drive.
No, you can't. You have to be really raring to go.
I know most people who have been to Bali and have stayed as long as I have are like masters on the motor scooter, but I've already had my catastrophic accident and head injury for this lifetime. So anyway,
driving in a big city in Asia is remarkable, particularly in Southeast Asia. I just remember I was in the Philippines and I was in Davao City and I had just interviewed who is the current president, who has a dubious reputation, and he was even
Duterte.
That's right.
Hi.
He was even more dubious in person. I'm not going to go into too many details, but I remember...
Because we want to be allowed in the country.
Yeah, no, totally. And there was a point where people were crossing the street, and I couldn't do it. Like, I literally, like, you just... If you move in, and I thought I was just going to be hit by a truck. And then there was this really old woman who showed up. I mean, she was really old. And I just figured, well, she's crossing. Like, it's clear to me that she's going to cross the street. And whatever she does, I'm going to do. So either we would be mowed down together or we were going to get crossed safely. And that's exactly what you do. And there is sort of like a trick to it. You need to just kind of, it's Frogger for those of us of a certain vintage who remember that game.
I didn't play that. I don't know.
Well, it's basically frog jumping from lily pad to lily pad for safety before you jump into the water. So it's kind of like that. You just have to kind of figure out where your little safe zones are. And so that's part of the fun of kind of exploring a place. Matter of fact, Davao City at the time, I remember, had something like 1.6 million people and had 13 stoplights in the whole area. So, I mean, it's just a free-for-all. That's all. If you come to a thing and it's major intersection, you need to cross, you're going to do it. You'll just do it. And that's on foot and in car and in tuk-tuk, where it's like everybody's like funneling into these same little paths. It's remarkable. So anyway, traffic,
yeah,
Thailand, so, Bangkok, visit.
Yeah, this year, towards the end. So today is our Q&A night. I put our phone number next to our names at the bottom, but I will also hold it up, 888-627-6008, especially if you're listening in, 888-627-6008. If you want to call in at any time with any relationship issue. And if you don't, it's okay too, because I took in a bunch of questions before the show so that we would have something to talk about. But if you call us and we hear your voice, we can obviously hear more nuance, ask for clarification, and go deeper. But today's show is about midlife love, crazy, sexy midlife love, because
I... You should have fun.
Well, yeah.
You should have fun. It should be easier as we get older. And I think it is. I think it is. So I think we're here to prove that.
I mean, the reason I'm so happy, despite this weird experiment of being like in our house together round the clock for weeks without break for almost a year now, is I really, really enjoy Devin's company, and nothing can beat just really loving to be with the person you're with. You know, Devin is my favorite person.
So
a lot of fun.
And my wife, Morgana, is my favorite person. And so
What
are the odds? I think it's really important to just point out that if you are kind of looking at us and going, well, I don't have that.
We didn't either.
And for
a very long time.
So, you know, obviously our main focus is to let you know that you can get it, you can find it. And a lot of it just has to do with sort of like being conscious in the moment. And I think a lot of people end up doing, at least a lot of the people that I end up speaking with, are people who sort of like they're presented a circumstance and then they get really caught up and sort of like, oh, does he like me? And that becomes the thing rather than what is it do you need in order to thrive? And will that person, A, provide it for you? And B, will you be willing to provide the thing that this other person needs?
And ladies, because I started out very strongly in that position, like auditioning Devin to, I feel safe with him, check. Our first date lasted 6 hours and I didn't have to feel like I needed to perform at any moment. And he was cute, check, you know, and funny and interesting and smart, check. And then somewhere along the road, I realized I liked him. And that's when I became a little crazy. And that's when, you know, I don't care how old you are. I was 45 at the time. And I, by the way, now I'm 54 and I still get butterflies. And I still get like, does he really like me? Like, even though we've been married 25 times in 20 countries, does he really like me? Why would he like me? I mean, that happens because my hormones, my love hormones, like, take my brain hostage. And this is normal. And there are all sorts of scientific names and explanations for the process. So just having somebody sane and disinterested on the outside. I hired a coach so that I could be crazy with my coach and get it out of my system so that I could pretend to be sane again by my next date with Devin. So having somebody who's not just a girlfriend is really, really useful when the feelings start to come in and you forget that you're auditioning your partner for, you know, a long-term commitment. I don't know that you had a bunch of your friends too to mm-hmm. kind of help you through it. I think the first moment it occurred to me that Devin might be serious about me was when we went to your friend's birthday party and I met all these childhood friends of yours, Devin, and one of them said, oh yeah, Devin has been telling me about you. And that was like, ooh, like the antenna went up. He's been talking about me to his friends. That might mean something. Another really good sign is that Devin has friends going back since like elementary school and earlier who are happily married, long-term relationships. Whoever you're with is going to be like the people he hangs out with. So if he hangs out with happily married people, that's another good sign. And if he has really long-term relationships, that's another thing to look for when you're kind of hedging your bets and checking out who this person is when you're looking for a long-term relationship.
I was actually going to take this. This is just a sort of a side tip. And I've heard this a number of times. And I think, of course, this was only my own self-promotion. But I think a great way to find out, and this is really more for the ladies, I think there's a maternal instinct that kicks in no matter what. This is me probably being sexist having just said that. But I think for ladies, sometimes it's kind of challenging to go, oh, well, I don't know if I want to date a guy who already has kids. If he has kids, you can learn a lot about where he's at emotionally and spiritually and whether or not he's capable of being in a relationship. If you just say, and it's like a great way to sneak around the side to just say, tell me about your kid. Tell me about your kid. Find out the kind of level of the relationship, commitment, love, all that kind of stuff. Let his eyes light up, all those kinds of things. I mean, if he says, I haven't seen my kid for 6 years, that doesn't mean he's an evil person devoid of love. I'm just saying that if you're looking for somebody who's capable of commitment, you're going to get a sneak peek through that window when you find out what kind of relationship they're having with their own kids.
I didn't think I wanted somebody who had a kid because I had never had kids and I wanted some like us time before we would go into that. And Devin being a father, I think actually made him a better person. And
because I was a dud. And by the way, I don't even say that in jest. Please.
How you showed up for your daughter, let me know how you show up for those you love and feel protective towards. And that, so that was one of the things that I thought I didn't want that ended up being a plus in your case. Might not have been with somebody else, but in your case, it was a definite plus. I think it made you a better human being. It makes you, I think, a better partner to me. And I just really admired and trusted you more when I saw how you showed up for your daughter. So we have some questions. Again, if you want to call in, our producer is standing by, and our number is 888-627-6008. We've only been doing this for a year, and I still haven't memorized the phone number, but then I haven't memorized my husband's phone number because we have, you know, smartphones now.
Right, and heaven forbid.
Yeah.
Like, something happened against that.
And you know, if you're listening to the show, you probably are old enough to remember when we all knew where a phone was when it rang because it was stuck to the wall in the kitchen.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. So here are some of the issues that came in from listeners that we're going to address today in no particular order. Some of them were the idea that all the good ones are taken by our age.
Well, do we just want to start answering the questions and we'll go through as many as possible?
Yeah, we could do that. And there was something, there was another one that may not be on the list that was like in the back of my mind. I'll remember it while you're talking at some point because I felt like there was something that I wanted to. Oh, I do remember now.
Would you want to do that one before it disappears in the ether?
Yes. Yeah, because at my age, things disappear into the ether more than they used to. Okay. So I was hearing from a woman who was agonizing over dating men who needed to be fixed and had a bunch of issues and feeling like hearing from so many sources that she shouldn't be too picky. And so I guess the question behind that would be, am I being too picky? Do I have to settle? And this is a pet peeve of mine because I remember when that blamey misogynistic book came out, I don't know how long ago, telling women if you're in your 40s and you're single, it's your fault because you were too picky and now you'll be alone for the rest of your life, which makes me want to vomit. And as somebody who got married for the first time at 47, and I have a bunch of friends and clients who got married for the first time in their 50s and their 60s, happily, it's not a race. It's waiting for the right one. It's worth the wait. And when you settle, the best you can hope for is less than what you want. And that's not fair to your partner, who should be wanted for who he is or she is. So I would just, you, when nobody is looking for perfection, and that's the great thing about our age, is we've been through enough relationships to kind of grow up and learn what matters more. And if somebody hasn't, it's really easy to recognize that and move on because we have less time to waste. But there is, I think, you know, nobody's perfect, but there are people who are right fits for us. And that's what you're looking for. And if somebody is not, be honest, especially we women, and I assume men do this too. But I know I was a master at rationalization and making people fit who didn't fit and just focusing on really, I love love. I'm really good at focusing on the great qualities, no matter the horror show that's going on. And I used to delude myself for years only for the relationship to fall apart super painfully for exactly what I could have predicted on the first date. And I actually made a decision to stop pretending not to know for 2 years what I knew right away. And I went on a ridiculous number of single dates. And sometimes I would see, oh, well, this person is not a keeper, but I think we can get it might be fun to date for a little while. And those relationships might last 3 months. It was, I like to say, because it was true. I could see an expiration date above every single guy I dated until I met Devin. And that's how I knew he was different, because I still don't see any expiration date above his head. But I couldn't have been available to meet him if I was trying to make an expiration date last. So saying no to somebody you don't, who doesn't fit your values and who you know you can't be happy with and he's not going to be happy with is a service to you both, so that you can be free and available for a person that you can be happy with. Because nobody wants to be with somebody who they make miserable. Like, you're not doing a guy a favor by being with him and being miserable. Am I correct?
Yeah, I was going to throw an additional piece in there. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I've spoken to a lot of women who sometimes, not always, because you don't get a guidebook. Do you know what I mean? Like, where Morgana was talking about this idea of having an expiration date above somebody's head, I think is a very viable one. At the same time, you don't necessarily get the burning bush kind of moment where you absolutely know. Sometimes you do, but sometimes it's like you have to kind of take a look and be conscious of, here's the kinds of things that are happening. Is it working for me? Right? It could be anything. You get to decide. You get to pick and choose of the things. But what I was going to say about the word settling, I think it's important to sort of like have standards and to have consciousness of what it is that you want in your life, right? But you have to be aware of those things. Like, you have to kind of make a decision. It's not just merely, I've had some feelings and then I'm going to run for the hills. And so I think the idea of settling can, not always, again, we don't always get the burning bush moments as much as we like to, but settling can also be used as a means to prevent love from happening. In other words, I have this list and I'm adhering to it in the most strict of sense, without sort of exploring additional possibilities. And some of those possibilities might be somebody's been married before, or maybe they have kids, or maybe they don't have the kind of career that you think you're supposed to have, and all of those kinds of things. This has nothing to do with whether or not you are a valuable person worthy of love, like for me, without question. If you want love, I think you should have it. I think you're entitled to it, like for sure. I think there's somebody for everybody. But I think it's also important that if you hold on too tightly to some ideas that prevents you from exploring something, in other words, how that might come into play would be if you're talking with somebody and you're thinking, oh, they're kind of cool, but I only will go out with somebody who's like 5'7" and above. That might be a thing to say, well, maybe I could go have a cup of coffee and at least find out. Like, I don't think they're unsafe for something like that. Like, those kinds of things, you know, they're 5'6¾". Well, you know, maybe it's worth a little time on your part to explore the notion that maybe that particular thing that you've been holding on to isn't the be-all, end-all sort of notion.
I agree with that 100%. One of my favorite things, a friend of mine, I don't even remember who, but a friend said, look for character, not characteristics. So when I'm talking about not settling, is this person kind to you? Do you enjoy this person's company? Do you respect this person? Does this person respect you? That's the kind of thing. Those are things that don't compromise on that. Do you enjoy each other? Do you find each other attractive? Do you see yourselves growing in the same direction with common values? And even then, Devin and I have disagreements and have some different values.
And
ouch, that's like really hard for me. But not a deal breaker, because I think the deepest values we have in common. So yeah, are there some superficial differences that I can have very strong feelings about? Yes. But at the end of the day, I know he's a really, really good human being.
I love that she said superficial things.
Yeah, don't bring it up again, because I'll deny it.
Yeah, no, I know. Not that we're recording this or anything for posterity to be referred to at some later
point. To be used against me.
Right, no, I wasn't saying anything like that. I was acknowledging what I heard. That's all.
Cancel.
Right. So, but hopefully if you're at home and you've been having challenges, because I do think it's easy to get into a mindset. As a matter of fact, because I see some of the questions that are sort of like posted here, which this, what I'm about to say, may lead into the next thing, is that it's easy to get into a mindset that I'm supposed to be alone, I won't find anybody. Usually what it is I'm not going to find somebody sort of like in my time frame, because I want everything now. I ordered some books through, you know, like a delivery service. They were supposed to be here a week ago. They're not here. I'm outraged, right? Shake my fist at the heavens.
Yes.
Right. Oh, the humanity, all of that kind of stuff. So it doesn't happen in my time frame.
You showed up like 41 years late.
Well,
I was looking at 4 years old and you showed up at 45.
Right. Well, maybe we both needed to do some growing up before we could be worthy of each other's stuff. And so anyway, getting back to what I was talking about is that at some point, you know, I think the more conscious you get to be, and this is, again, I have friends that have been with the same people for many, many, many years. And, you know, I don't know sort of like the depths of their personal relationship, but I know them as a couple really well, and I love them. And I think there are some people who do it really, like, I think they just, their issue in this world right now is not being in a relationship. They met, they fell in love, they got married, they made babies, they stayed committed. Some didn't have babies, they stayed committed, they're walking the same path together. And that's like, I would be astonished if it wasn't till death.
They are space aliens.
Right, they are space aliens. But then there are people like myself, my lovely wife, where we had to put forth a little bit extra effort.
We're slower cookers.
We're slower cookers, and it also means that I think you cook more quickly when you start taking responsibility of sort of like, for me, what happened with me is that I started taking a look at like, okay, well, here's what happened in these failed relationships. And certainly the common denominator in the failure is this guy. And so what it meant was for me at some point, I started actually going through the relationships in my brain. Like, okay, well, what did happen? What did take place? Why didn't things work? And that's not to suggest the relationships weren't intended to last for the rest of my life, and or that I could have done something right or different or whatever. But what I did was I started learning things about myself, and I was the only person that was capable of changing them or acknowledging them. And so it was one of those things that I might have been accused of it for 5 years, but if I wasn't aware of it or I wasn't willing to kind of go, that might be something worth exploring, I probably wasn't going to get it because somebody was just telling me to get it.
I wasn't discerning enough because I was so hungry for love.
Right. And I think a lot of people are.
And I, you know, like the biggest thing for me was learning to say no and be okay and be on my own for a while. It let me build my own business and my own voice. But what I really needed to learn for myself was to say no and kind of fix my picker. And based on all the stories my husband's mother has told me about the women prior, I think he...
My mother's not a fair judge.
She likes please, me, so I please. Think she's the best judge ever.
Yeah, that's true.
I do like her.
You know, this is one of those moments where we're going to argue in front of you. How dare you? No, I'm just kidding. So, all right. So my mother had some opinions about women that I've dated in the past. How surprising. I, for one, am astonished to hear that brand new news. That is a really interesting piece of information. So, okay. So I guess when we were talking a minute ago about this idea of mindset, were you done with that idea?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So when I was talking about this idea of mindset, where we start, perfect. And again, it could be that maybe you've set these standards and they're really rigorous and they're really hard, and maybe you're not giving somebody a chance, but that's a decision that you're making. It may be a small secret decision that's in the back of your mind, you know, in a vice grip, or maybe it's part of your culture or your family or something else. Like, oh, well, we only marry doctors here in this family. So anyway, this first question, can you believe it? We've been talking this long and we're just getting to question number one.
Yeah, I can totally believe it.
Right.
Go ahead.
So the first question is, all the good ones are taken.
Just imagine it and a question mark after that.
Right.
The belief that all the good ones are taken.
Right. Meaning that if you didn't get married at 20 or 25, that the limited pool of human beings are separated into good ones and duds, and that only after, like, all the smart women married all the smart guys and all the good women married all the good guys, and whatever's out there now is somehow just the
rabble. Right. Right. We are the leftovers.
We are the leftovers. We are the ones
really
who've already been picked through a thousand times.
We were at the bottom of the basket at Filene's basement by the time we met each other.
Right, that is horrendous. So as you can see, that's...
Well, I do like the point that the guys who are great in relationships stayed in marriage. Some of them. In your case, what was your different? Like, you're great in relationship now, but you were horrible when you were younger because you were slower.
Yeah, horrible is strong. But yeah, no,
I read your book.
Right, no, I need
it. I read your memoir.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I have that thing recorded earlier about what you said. And I have an entire book. But she could go, page 42.
Of 10,000 miles of my dead father's ashes.
Indeed so. So please, go on.
Yeah, you brought it up. What are your responses to that?
The good ones are taken. So I think part of the question is that there's a mindset issue. And the mindset issue is a really big one. I think it's a real big one because there is sort of like the ideas of facts, but a lot of our personal relationship isn't really about facts per se. I think it's about our perception. And our perception is something that we kind of like, we mold into a circumstance where we're right or we're the victim, or if only under a different set of circumstances, I'd be the happiest person. I shake my fist at the heavens some more. And so you have that element to it. And then, of course, there's this idea of there's actually like for people that are good for you, that will bring you peace, joy, comfort, people that will want you to be your best self, and you, because you're around them, will want to be your best self, that there's a limited number.
There's 7.5 billion people and growing.
Right.
So a lot of good people can be married and still a lot of good people be looking. And people change. So great guys who were married before, they grew in different directions. Doesn't have to be anybody's fault. People make mistakes, or they grow in different directions, or circumstances change, and you only need one. So if you just approach dating, first work on yourself to be the person who would be a good match for the person you want. That doesn't mean be somebody different or change yourself, because that doesn't make you a good match. But work on your own self-love and your own happiness with life and your inner blocks and whatever is going on inside of you that protects yourself from love, because love can be really scary. Oh my goodness. Like, even in the best relationship, the more you open up and get vulnerable and invest in the relationship and really, really, truly love, the word again, vulnerability, like, it is scary because the deeper you go, the more you can be hurt, because that is just the nature of love. So do the work on yourself so that you have that strong sense of worthiness, not entitlement. It can feel very similar, but worthiness, so that you feel like loved by yourself, loved by life. It's just a great energy to attract and then be able to say no to the people who are not the right people. Attractive people attract everything. So when you're attractive, you are going to attract a lot of people. The majority, all but one, are going to be people who are no's. So don't judge yourself when you attract something you don't want. Your job is simply to say no to that so that you are open. And again, I'm not saying because he's a half inch too short, like that kind of stuff, that's just so dehumanizing. If you don't feel safe with the person or you don't respect the person, like character over characteristics. Carol Allen, the astrologer who's been on the show a couple of times, she says a story about banquet girl versus breadcrumb girl. And I will totally admit that I have been breadcrumb girl at times in my life. And the way she describes breadcrumb girl is like, oh, he drinks and he cheats on me because I've dated that guy and he's abusive, but he's the best I'll ever get. So I have to like grasp the crumbs of his affection. And I've been that person more than once in my life. So that is breadcrumb girl, no shame. I've been there. I think we all have our moments. It's part of growing up, except for the space alien friends that Devin has who like met their person right out the gate and they've been happily married since. And we love them. We love them. No problem with that either. But banquet girl is, oh, this is not the right person. And another one will be here in 6 minutes. Because life is a banquet. And it isn't that she's thinner or smarter or prettier or younger or wealthier at all. It's just her attitude in life. And that is attractive. And if he's a no, next, another one will be along in 6 minutes. That's banquet girl.
I will say the best advice I had ever received in terms of like dating and relationships, and I didn't know it at the time, was from my father when I was like 12. My father was not skilled at relationships. I think he was well-intentioned. He was actually one of the more interesting guys ever. But I remember having this crush on a girl like in the sixth grade or seventh grade, and he was like, I had just gotten like jilted. And it wasn't even like, I never even got to the place where jilting really takes place. I just like knew like long ahead of time that jilting was like, that was all that was going to be part of this deal. And so he had said to me when I was particularly just like, oh, I'm just a little brokenhearted guy. And he said very matter-of-factly, and I think it holds true. He said, one down, 10 billion to go.
And your father lived his life that way.
And he lived his life that way. So by the way, in much the same way we talked earlier about, what was the word that we were using? The word standards. Not the standards. What was the standards word that we were talking about?
Character, not characteristics. Values. Settling.
Settling. Okay. Settling was the magic word. And so we could use that as a justification to keep love away in much the same way. This sort of like, hey, there's a billion to go. It's sort of the grass is greener on the other side of the street. What you don't want to do is fall into that trap either, where somebody is never going to be good enough. And if they've hurt you, you don't need to work through the relationship or you don't need to try. You just keep moving and moving and moving and moving.
But
both sides are traps.
But hopefully by midlife, we've been through enough so that when we meet a gem who has issues and human flaws and failings and quirks, like every other human being does, but it's your human. You get it. And that's I think, part of what has made relationship and love and living with Devin so easy for me, is because I appreciate like how special he is for me and how lucky I am. Like, because that's the value of time on the planet, is we have less. So hopefully by now, we've learned a little bit and we are not hung up on the ridiculous anymore, or maybe a little less. What we were just talking about goes really easily into the next concern that was sent to me is the guy from my past who I never got over is showing up.
That's not a question. What does that even mean?
Well, that was the question that was sent to me, the concern, looking for advice on that. If he's from your past and it didn't work before, this is not an absolute, but my intuitive hit is it probably will not work. There's a reason that relationships don't work. Of course, there are exceptions, and you get to be the chooser. What is actually, I think, a good thing to do. I had a year many years ago where I set the theme, my annual New Year's theme for the year. This was going to be the year of peace and love. And I had this fantasy that my business would be peaceful and I would meet the love of my life, and neither happened. But what did happen was every guy who had broken my heart and got away or didn't know I existed or whatever, that I had never completely gotten over, they all showed up that year. And they all wanted to date me. And I got to meet with each and every single one of them and sit across the table from them thinking to myself, oh my God, she, who I used to be so into you. And I'm so over you now. And it was glorious because I got to make complete peace with my love life and realize I've already been on that ride and I don't need to be on that ride. And I know how the ride ends. Nice to see you. Bye. It was fantastic. I hope everybody gets to have that experience if you need it. So maybe seeing him and remembering exactly why it didn't work out might give you some closure. But it sounds like a red flag to me. And kind of coming from that breadcrumb that you can't do better. That's my hunch. Meet him. Check it out. See for yourself. Devin?
So this guy from my past who I never got over is showing up. That's an interesting one because I think I'm not 100% sure on this. I could be wrong, but I'm going to, you know, again, you get to decide. I think I remember reading about sort of like a general study. And one of the differences between men and women is that men tend to think of like what's out there in the future, and women tend to sort of like over romanticize the past. And of course, that's not always true, because as soon as you say that, there's going to be a woman who's only caring about the future and some guy who's hung up what happened 3 years ago. And so I think the general idea here is that if it didn't work, maybe it could work again, but what has changed? And I think it's kind of, you know, for me, I always kind of go to, well, what is the thing? What are we conscious about? It's not merely, oh, he walks into a room and he's my dreamboat. Oh, look at him. He's so charming. And all that stuff is great. I think that's great. I think we love that. I think we love this idea that we see each other from across the room and magic and lightning bolts and all the fairy dust, you know, flies up in the air. And that's all great. But I think there's a certain reality. So if it didn't work the first time around, what changed? What's the thing that has what's now different? And if you don't have an answer to that other than, oh, but he looks so great now, or she's beautiful or whatever, or she really, like, she gets me. I don't know if that's enough. I don't know. I mean, you can, listen, the worst that can happen, go have lunch. Go have lunch, but be really conscious of why you're having lunch, what your expectations are. Are you ready to run and jump back into romance again? Or are you looking to kind of figure out, you know, maybe there's some real obvious thing where you were both too immature. But it also implies you've matured, which may or may have happened.
And have you? And has he? What? Right. Yeah, you know, I think that's a great response. What has changed? Because if nothing has changed, it's not going to end up any better. And I think we get to take what we love from a relationship. And then we get to say, okay, the next one is good. That's the baseline for the next one. It's going to be this and better. And wouldn't that be yummier? than trying to make, like, you know, an old thing that didn't fit before fit. Next one that comes up in our list here is, this woman wrote, I feel this dread that every man is going to leave.
That's a tough one.
Well, and?
Oh, you can, I mean, you can navigate it, but yeah, it's just a tough, it's a tough emotional place to be in.
Well, my mother rejected me. My stepfather rejected me. My father rejected me. A lot of my girlfriends, like, turned on me when I was young. So I have this, like, built-in fear of abandonment. And, you know, there, everybody loves to talk about the book, The Untethered Soul, and attachment styles. And read it if you like it. What I did was I worked on my relationship with love. And, you know, those who know me from my work with relationship with money, uncovering the root cause of repelling it or why it goes away. Money as if it were a person, you know, the monster who is scarcity and dramatic and makes you feel not good enough and insecure in the world. And if you don't know that, go to my website at morganaray.com, and there is just oodles of free stuff there, starting with a 4-part video series and just hundreds of videos and articles on my blog. I did the same process with my relationship with love in 2012 to see why I was doing everything you were supposed to be doing and taking all the classes and working with the coaches, and why I was still demanifesting love and getting my heart broken. And I would, you know, work with coaches and take classes, and it was, and they'd say what to do, and it'd be like, well, I am doing that. So what's going on? And it just kind of triggered in me the same experience that I had with money, where you do everything right and you aren't getting the right result. What are you protecting yourself from unconsciously that is giving you the result you're getting? So I really dove deep into, like, all of the hurt and the betrayal and the rejection, starting with childhood, and built a really great case for why love is not only dangerous, but even deadly to me. And that's why I was pushing it away. And I personified this love monster and rejected it and obliterated it and did not said, you know, you don't get to be in my life. And I made space for a different experience of love in my life. And I met Devin 2 months later. So that is one approach, is first you have to really make love safe. And if you have dread, by the way, you have very good reasons for it. So it's not that there's something wrong with you. It's that you love yourself and you want to protect yourself from pain. So we want to make it safer for you. And I also want to reframe the dread that men will leave. A coach friend of mine said that failure is the norm. The relationship that lasts, the marriage, that's the exception. So it's the norm. It's not actually a failure. It's supposed to be that way because the person you're going to be with, rejecting and forsaking all others, is supposed to be special. And maybe you meet the person right off the bat, but if you're like us, you don't. And so I like the perspective that rejection, in air quotes, is God's protection, making you available for the right person. Ooh, thank you. Thank you for getting out of the way. Even the one who broke my heart, who I thought really, really dug me when he said that he didn't love me and didn't think he ever could, I said, thank you for letting me know. That's really useful information. I don't think we'll ever see each other again. And that was the person before Devin. So one last thing is, cast yourself as the shopper and the buyer instead of the seller. And you, and don't sell yourself so cheaply. You are shopping. See if the person shows up, if the person loves you, if the person is kind to you, if the person wants to be with you. That is part of your job as the shopper in the relationship equation. If he doesn't show up, if he leaves you dangling, feeling insecure, if he isn't nice to you, if he disappears, then he is not a good job candidate for your life partner next. So it isn't dread that he's going to leave. It's looking forward to making space for the right one. That would be my response. Did you want to squeeze in two words in the final minutes of our show?
I was hoping to squeeze in two words.
Go ahead.
So I look at it in a slightly different thing, and I'm even going to give you a little exercise at home if you're having this particular thing. So again, if you're just joining us, I feel this dread in every man is going to leave me. So in terms of the dread, that's like a real thing. Those are real feelings. It's a real experience. And that's because you've been hurt and you've had your heart broken and it's terrible. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that those kinds of things happen. I also would love you to know that relationships, failed relationships, relationships that didn't work out in the manner in which you hoped they would, were really opportunities to learn. And so the dread part is sort of the internalized disappointment that keeps showing up. And really what ends up happening is all of a sudden love may show up and we're kind of like this because I'm terrified that this thing is not going to work out the way that I want. So if you were to say, and here's the exercise, make a list of all the relationships that you had. And my guess is that, you know, probably at the end of each of those relationships, it was a drag. Right? And my feelings were hurt. I felt useless. I felt unloved or unlovable. Maybe there was like a terrible thing that happened within the relationship that's hard to get over. All of those things are valid. And I'm not suggesting for a second you should not be aware of them or shoo them to the side. What I am saying is that there were parts of the relationship that were useful. And we want to go find out, like do a little fact-finding mission, right? You write down the person's name and you write down the things that you learned from the relationship. And it might be, I broke up with Susie because I needed to stand up for myself, right? And I did it by standing up to Susie and walking out the door, right? These boots are made for walking. Great song by Nancy Sinatra. So what you do is you really put together a list of all the things that you learned, because really what you're looking to do is you want to kind of see your own progress. Right. You started out as, you know, probably a teenager. And then at some point, you know, you're like in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s, as we were. And it starts feeling more frightening or uncomfortable because there's this baggage. Right. So part of the way that we transform the baggage is start finding the relevant things that have changed us for the better. So when we go out, we're not just armed merely with our insecurities. We're armed with the knowledge of how we've grown and what we are now ready to move forward with, right? So we start transforming the baggage into something what I would argue is far, far more powerful and useful. So I guess the back rub means that it was okay.
You're just so smart.
Oh, good.
Wise.
Right. So again, we understand that part of the leaving thing, and you know, the fear, because that's really what this is all about. It's about fear, and it's a mindset that we've grabbed onto because we don't want to be hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody does, right? I want to walk into a party, and I want everybody to hug and kiss me, and if like 50 people at the party come up to me and there's one person in the corner and I think they give me the stink eye, I think about this one person, and I don't want to deal with the one person even though I'm surrounded by 50 other people who think I'm the cat's meow. So part of it is like we start moving away from this fear element and realize, yes, you know, one down, 10 billion to go. We start doing that.
You sounded more fun when you were 15, I'm sure.
No, I was devastated. I was so hurt at the time. I was just like, what a pile of garbage this is. And Dad had just, I mean, he literally like set it in his underwear just walking down the hall passing me. Like he didn't care, but it was actually useful. It was actually useful to go, oh, this isn't that big of a deal. Like, yes, I should pine away. I should mourn this theoretical loss. And it started becoming more empowering when I started realizing, well, but I did learn things from that relationship. And I did learn, you know, I really from that, even from that first relationship, that was a non-relationship, right? That very first relationship, that non-relationship was really like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll get through this. It was uncomfortable. It was terrible. I cried my little face off. My father insulted me in his special way by like, you know, like this flippant kind of thing. But, you know, and he also told me like, yeah, you'll get through this. It's going to be okay. And so you can, even if your feeling is though There's could be dread that a man's going to leave, that you now can be empowered by your own knowledge of what you've walked through to be a rock star that you are today.
We have three more questions and we have 1 minute left.
Yeah, no, we're not,
we'll save
the questions.
We'll pick it up.
We have a minute left.
Yes.
Because I don't answer three questions in 1 minute. I answer three questions in an hour.
Yes.
That's my MO.
So we will have a guest next week.
Really? Who?
Perry Grossman. Oh, my God. You're going to love her.
I think so, I've met her before.
Yeah. Really talk about abundance and love in the face of anything. She's hit the jackpot in money and love. And
jackpots are good.
She's just a wonderful, fascinating human being. So I can't wait for you to meet her next week on Crazy Sexy Midlife Love Radio. Same time, 5 p.m. Pacific time at BBS Radio. And join our Crazy Sexy Midlife Love family at, you guessed it, crazysexymidlifelove.com. And catch up on our archives. Last week we had, I think, my favorite interview to date with Samantha Housden,
the midlife
mom with the blue hair, amazing sense of humor, so much wisdom. Ariel Ford, Soulmate Secrets, the week before. Lots of great stuff. Keep sending in your questions. We have a guest next week, but we will be back answering your questions because we love love.
And we have three questions, so thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.